Eesti Filharmoonia Kammerkoor alustab täna uut kontserdihooaega. Täna Tartus ja homme Tallinnas antaval kontserdil on peateosena kõlemas Ferenc Liszti tsükkel Via Crucis. Filharmoonia Kammerkoori peadirigendi Kaspar Sputniši sõnul on tegemist isikliku ja väga tõsise teosega Ferenc Liszilt, kellel oli erakordne elu täis uskumatuid kogemusi. Tema suured amplituudid kontserdireisidel ja varasest east kogetud tohutu edu, tema hilisem pöördumine usu ja kiriku elu poole, pühendumine loomingule, see kõik on väga intensiivne ja omal moel sadestunud tema tsüklisse Via Crucis. Nii tohutult sügav sisemine protsess on selles teoses, mis räägib Jeesuse viimastest tundidest. Kaspar Sputniš.
This is really very, very honest and very personal piece by Franz Liszt. He had an extraordinary life. Of course, he was so rich with all kinds of experiences, and he had so much success in all different ways. Basically, all his life, starting from his childhood already, and then towards the end of his life, he was more into contemplation. But even then, I mean, the last years he spent still traveling between Rome, Budapest and Vienna, and at the same time he was ordained as a Franciscan monk. Even though there is more and more contemplation, more and more, you would think, peace in his life, it was still very, very intense life, and also very intense in terms of relationships of all different kinds, and he was very supportive to his friends and his colleagues, like Wagner, for example, and but at the same time there is this inner process of someone who has got rich life and who has got so much experience and knowledge in music, and the deep inner insight, that deep inner process, I think is very well represented in Via Crucis.
Tsükkel on Putniši sõnul helilooja endale väga oluline ja ta on sellest kirjutanud mitu erinevat versiooni. Samas oli aga teose avaldamisega raskusi, sest selle vastu ei tuntud piisavalt huvi ja esiettekannegi toimus pärast helilooja surma.
Obviously Via Crucis is very important for himself. He's written several versions of the piece. There is one with piano, there is one with organ, there is one without choir, by the way. And he had very difficult times publishing it. I mean, no one was really interested in this very, very unusual and very experimental work for the time. It was only premiered well after his death. But at the same time, obviously, there is something uniquely, like, authentic and true in this musical work. And that is of the greatest value for me personally, because I think that that's really very obvious. Many say that they feel like Liszt would take a big eraser, a big rubber eraser, and he would just pull out everything that he thought was not relevant, and he would only leave these important lines that really speak. And what's very striking about that piece, and knowing Liszt's writing of the previous periods in his life, is how much is it related with silence. And all these lines, all these very precise, graphical, beautiful, very expressive lines, they basically grow out of silence, and they basically go back into silence. And then, of course, I mean, he really identified himself with the Christian message as such, with the philosophy, and also with all different aspects of liturgical music. I already mentioned that he was actually the Franciscan monk at the same time. At the time when he wrote the piece, at the same time, the music has Lutheran chorale in it, yeah, on several occasions, yeah, in German. And then, of course, Vexilla Regis, the very famous 6th century chant, is present there. So there are all these impulses, or the symbols, and some of them are actually very difficult to trace the origin. Like, for instance, there is this ta-ta-dum, pa-pa-pa, that question that doesn't leave me in peace, and I have the feeling that I know it, that I've heard it somewhere, but where does it come from? No idea. There's this Wagnerian depth in that semantic part of music.
Putnitsi sõnul on tsükkel erakordselt autentne, tõene ja on öeldud, et selles teoses on helilooja välja jätnud kõik liikse ja alles on vaid häda vajalik. Kui palju on selles teoses kohta vaikusel, see on erakordne, ütleb Putnitsi. Kõik meloodia liinid on selged, tihedad, kaunid ja põhimõtteliselt kõik algab ja kõik ka lõpeb. Vaikusesse ning helilooja kristlik filosoofia on väga selgelt arusaadav. Teoses leiab erinevaid impulsse ja viiteid varasemasse kirikumuusikasse, kas või näiteks üks Luteri koraal, nii et selline semantika ja sümbolid, see on siin kõik olemas ja selles mõttes on listi tsükkel Via Crucis lõpmata avastuste allikas. Samal ajal on see teos keerukas, sest kõike on nii vähe. Näiteks kooril polegi nagu midagi eriti laulda ja Putnitsi nägemuse läbi just kui üks geniaalne klaveri helilooja oma teaduses muudab kooripartii inimhääleks. See on helilooja unistus. Ja see vähene materjal, sellega tuleb käituda väga täpselt, väga selgelt, peaaegu teatraalselt. Andmaks edasi kõiki neid karaktereid ja emotsioone ja impulsse.
At the same time, it's difficult in a way, because there is so little of it. Like for the choir, there isn't really much to sing. How I see it, this is purely a speculation basically, but my relationship to the choir part here is that I could imagine somebody, you know, genius pianist, contemplating on the issue, on the theme, on the event. And then in his consciousness, at some point, out of the piano sound, appears this human voice element. So it to me, it sounds like if a genius pianist would, on top of what he plays himself, would dream human voice. And that's what I think is the soloist and also the chorus part in Via Crucis. And then you have to be, with that little tiny gesture that you have to be very, very precise in all different ways. Specifically, like theatrically precise in terms of image and character and emotional charge and message.
Kaspar Sputnitsi sõnul on Ferenca Listi teoses Via Crucis koor omamoodi hingamiselund. Seal on ka väikesed soolod, üks koraal, mitu korda Stabat Mater jookseb läbi, seal on jutustavad osad, isegi peaaegu et ingellikud remargid ja koor annab edasi karakterit ja impulsse, mis on väga selged, väga kindlad, kuid peavad jälgima sulandumist ja sellise üldise kaare joonistamise printsiipi.
Well, the choir really has to be part of that whole breathing process of the piece, of the music. They represent few different things. First of all, of course, they appear singing chant, but then there are all very different things. There are these little solo parts, there is this little trio of what I call angels, somewhere in a different world, singing several times Stabat Mater and then Consummatum Est towards the end of the piece. Then suddenly there is chorale, then suddenly there are these few exclamations when Jesus falls in the male chorus and also when he's crucified. And each time the choir appears in like a different character, but at the same time these are very, very, very different impulses and they all have very particular character that one really has to sense. And one has to be really very much the part of the whole flow of what is the music revealing, what is the music unfolding, in order to be really precise. This is the piece which goes so far beyond notes.
Eesti Filharmoonia Kammerkoori lavapartner on Kalle Randalu. Ka tema sõnul on Ferenc Listi teose Via Crucis näol ettekandele tulemas meditatiivne ja sissevaatav muusika. Kalle Randalu.
Tegemist on ikka päris erilise teosega, selleks peab nagu sisemiselt ja vaimselt valmis olema, sellel ei ole mitte midagi tegemist välise virtuooslikkusega ega üldse uskumatu teos, kohati tonaalsuse piirimail, uskumatud modulatsioonid, uskumatult ilusad modulatsioonid, ka niimoodi, mis tõesti minu arvates tõesti kana naha ihule toovad. Ja nii et selles mõttes ma olen väga õnnelik, et ma õppisin seda teost tundma. Teine Listi teos, mis ettekandele tuleb, on siis klaveri soolo Jumala ülistus üksinduses, võiks seda tõlkida vast eesti keelt. Et selle helikeel on teine, see on natuke tormlevam ja tunglevam ja romantilisem, aga oma olemuselt on need mõlemad teosed meditatsioonid. Üks mediteerib nagu ühes olekus ja teine siis mediteerib Jeesuse kannatustest. No kui vaadata listi, kui elilooja arengu teed või käekäiku, ta elas ju suhteliselt pika elu ja suhteliselt ka eduka elu ja listil oli palju kadetsejaid ja rivaale. Aga see on üks kosmilisemaid muutusi. Ma mõtlen, kui võrrelda elilooja varasemat ja siis elilooja viimased, see kuhu ta lõpuks jõudis. See võib, on üks uskumatu teekond. Ma arvan küll, et ise endasse lõpude lõpuks ikkagi. Ma ei tea teist eliloojat, kellega nii kosmiliselt suur muutus oleks toimunud. Muidugi Beethoveni ilised oopused on midagi erilist. Kõikide ilised oopused, Mozart teeb samamoodi, Haydn teeb samamoodi, aga niisugust muutust nagu Listi loomingus ei tea küll kedagi teist. Muidugi hilisemad klaveri teosed, juba see samad sükkel, millest on pärit see Jumala ülistus üksinduses, juba see poetilised religioossed harmooniad ja juba veidi hiljem siis Franciscus legendid ja klaveri loomingu kaudu tunneb küll muidugi juba ka hilisemad, aga see on midagi päris erilist. Tema kui elilooja meisterlikkus muidugi, see, näiteks selle teose kuues peatuspaik, see oleks nagu Bachi koraal oleks nagu Matteuse passioonist, aga ei ole. Need noodid kõik on Listi enda omad, aga ta oli ka nii geniaalne osa velilooja. See partituur viib täiesti, ma ütleks niimoodi, ta viib ära kohe. Ta viib täiesti oma meeleolusse ja klaver on üks osa siin täiesti lahutamatust tervikust. Et see on kõik kuskile mujale suunatud muusika ja siin ei ole mitte midagi tegemist enda näitamisega või see nii kaugel seal kõigest välises, see on nii puhas ja sügav meditatsioon.
On öeldud veel, et selle teose esitamiseks peab olema pianist väga palju muusikat läbi mänginud, et ta tunnetaks seda lihtsust. Kas võib seda nii öelda?
Ja võib. Ma olen ka mõningaid esitusi kuulanud ja võib-olla on tõesti nii, et peaks Listi hilisema loominguga eelnevalt tegelenud juba olema, et mõista seda helikeelt ja siin ei sobi terve rida niisugusi ütleme. Noh, niisugusi üldromantilisi rubaatovõtteid, et see on teistsugune, see on veidis karmim, askeetlikum, kui püüda nüüd sõnades seletada, aga õnneks ma olen Listi klaveriteostega eelnevalt tegelenud, nii et mina väga naudin seda koostööd praegu.
Eesti Filharmoonia Kammerkoori peadirigent Kaspar Sputnünš on oodanud koostööd pianist Kalle Randaluga juba mõnda aega. Esimese ühise loomeprotsessi üle on ta väga õnnelik.
I have been looking forward to this and I was so happy when he agreed. That was already a year ago when we started negotiating because I've been his fan. It is huge delight. I mean, I really feel blessed with his presence here.
Eesti Filharmoonia Kammerkoor alustab hooaega täna Tartus, homme Tallinnas, Ferenc Listi tähtteosega Via Crucis, kaastegev on pianist Kalle Randalu. Kontserdi avanumber on aga Bachi üks kuuest kuulsast Leipzigis kirjutatud kantaadist, mis Filharmoonia Kammerkoori peadirigent Kaspar Sputnünši sõnul on hea ühenduslüli kahe erineva maailma vahel, Bachi ja Listi maailma vahel. Need on küll erineval ajal loodud teosed, ometi on neis ühesugune joon aususe, vaimsuse ja inimlikkuse tunnetamise astmes. Kaspar Sputnünš.
Yeah, we started Bach Quo Jesu Quo, which is one of the famous six motets that Johann Sebastian wrote in Leipzig. This would create good kind of conversation between the two worlds, between Bach and Liszt's music. Of course, it's different style, different period of musical style altogether, but in a way that honesty, authenticity of the message is very characteristic to both. It is something that reveals something very deep, inner, emotional, spiritual process of a very spiritually rich human being in both cases.
Eesti Filharmoonia Kammerkoor, pianist Kalle Randalu ja dirigent Kaspar Sputnitš on homme õhtul Tallinnas Niguliste Muuseum kontserdisaalis. Enne kontserti on sissejuhatav loeng, mille annab muusikateadlane Kristel Pappel. Kontsert algab 7:00 ja Klassikaraadio teeb sellest ülekande.